Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's DeStefano's Den with sports guy TJ DeStefano here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and this is gold.net. Good morning, sports fans. Welcome inside DeStefano's Den on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, brought to you by Stay in Latrobe. Why stay in a hotel when you could stay in Latrobe? 905 Mission Road in Latrobe. Call 412-601-0706. Email stayinlatrobe@comcast.net and their website stayinlatrobe.com. We're on at 7:30 on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, 910 WXJX. This is gold.net and the iHeartRadio app. I'm your host, TJ DeStefano, and as always, we're talking sports. And today we are talking Mount Pleasant Vikings high school softball with head coach Chris Brunson about a great season for his team being WPIAL and PIAA champs. Coach is also the AD at Mount Pleasant. So, Coach, good morning. Thanks for coming on, and congratulations on a great year.
Good morning, TJ. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very pleased to have you on, and what a season for your team. 8-1 in section play, 21-3 overall, WPIAL and PIAA champs. That was the first time that that has happened in program history. So just overall, talk about your season.
Well, we, you know, like any season, we had our ups and downs. I know, you know, wins and losses, it maybe didn't show that, but you know, we had some injuries and we had some adversity that we had to deal with. And I think it made us stronger down the run, you know, into the playoffs and through the playoffs. You know, we were blessed with a senior-laden team, you know, a lot of talent, some girls that were committed to different places. And, you know, they're moving on, you know, into their college things now here in about 2 months or so. But it's a surreal experience, you know, just getting the opportunity to coach these girls and, you know, winning a section and winning a WPIAL, winning a state championship. It's been a surreal experience. It's been amazing.
And you mentioned all the things you had to go through. One of the big things that everybody had to go through and still was going through is COVID. So how did you guys handle that whole situation and what did you learn from it?
You know, COVID took the previous year from us. You know, the girls didn't get an opportunity to compete on the field. And, you know, we really had some buy-in with the older kids as far as, you know, working out and getting stronger and, you know, hitting the weights and just doing everything that you can do, you know, to make yourself a better player. And then, you know, continuing through travel ball and things. But as far as the season, you know, we taking temperatures every day, you know, making sure we were doing the masks when we had to do the masks, you know, and then that stuff kind of got a little less intense, you know, as the season went on, as people kind of got comfortable with things and, you know, and all that stuff with the different regulations with state and all that stuff. So it was definitely a challenge for sure.
Yeah, it is. And everybody I've talked to, you know, they say the same thing, but you guys got through it and were happy to play, which was the big thing, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Losing the year, really, you know, chewed the girls. We have some higher level travel ball kids and kids that are going to college and things. And, you know, they live and die softball, you know, and it was a tough thing to go through.
Yeah, guarantee it was. Now I want to start with your impressive playoff run. You guys won 7 games and you did not allow a run until the state championship game against Mid Valley. So 6 shutouts, not easy to do at all. So how did you guys accomplish that?
I think just being fundamentally sound. You know, I went back through the box scores and things, you know, just because I've had a little bit of time here to reflect the last couple of days. And, you know, I don't think we made an error. I think maybe one error the whole time.
Impressive.
You know, we got great pitching from Mary, you know, pitching ahead in the count and, you know, using her defense. And she did have some games where she struck a bunch of kids out, but, you know, there were some games we didn't have that either. And, you know, that was just, you know, being fundamentally sound defensively, I think that really just, you know, kind of put the icing on the cake for us.
Now in the WPIAL playoffs, you guys beat Derry 6-0, Avonworth 8-0, and Elwood City 15-0 in the championship. Talk about your run through the WPIAL playoffs.
The first game was tough. They were all tough, but the first game was tough because you want to get off onto a good note and, you know, get off onto the right foot, you know, into the playoffs, you know, and it was tough coaching, you know, against one of my friends, John DePalma. He's a good friend from Derry. You know, it just kind of made it a weird situation. But I think as we got going through the playoffs, I think we built some momentum. And then I think the culmination of everything, you know, just kind of exploded into the WPL championship game.
And perfect segue there. What a dominating performance in the championship game against Elwood City. As I said, 15-0. Just talk about that game and how special it was to win a WPIAL title.
Well, it's an amazing feeling. It's a dream come true, you know, and a lot of the, you know, the older people within our district in our area, you know, they want to know if you won the WPIAL. You know, that's a big, it's a big thing, you know, and it was a big thing for our kids. I would say as far as the game, you know, strategy was, I think we were, you know, playing an opponent that, you know, had some younger kids on the team. And, you know, our goal was to kind of jump on them early. And, you know, we just kind of kept the pressure on them. And then, you know, that was the, you know, the result was the bigger score.
Now on to the state playoffs. You guys beat Bald Eagle 4-0. Avonworth 3-0, Punxsutawney 13-0, and then Mid Valley 5-3 in the championship. Take us through the path there in the state playoff run.
Yeah, I was really surprised that you know, Bald Eagle fell to us in the first round. I was kind of worried about that game. You know, I felt it could go either way. You know, we played well. You know, Mary threw the ball well. We had great defense. We had timely hitting. You know, Courtney came up with a big home run, you know, and then going into the Avonworth game, I was, again, you know, as a coach, we just played these guys a couple weeks ago. You know, you're hoping there's no letdown, you know, and the weirdness of the back and forth with, you know, play somewhere one day, play the next day. It's kind of like playing two games, you know, and their pitcher was really good the second day, and she just shut us down. You know, moving forward into, you know, the Punxsy game, there was a little bit more of, you know, some revenge factor. You know, Punxsy had knocked our seniors out as freshmen. And, you know, there was a little bit of revenge factor there with that. And then, I mean, the state championship game is the state championship game. You know, it's going to be tough. You know, you're never going to get, you know, a slouch or anything in a state championship game. So, you know, the kids were just, you know, we got down a little bit. And, you know, they just kept with what we do. They didn't get down and, you know, they wrapped it up.
I was going to say, because in that championship game, you guys faced adversity for the first time in the playoffs, because at that point you had not allowed, you know, any runs. Here you allowed some runs. You were actually trailing in the game, as you mentioned. So, I mean, what was the mindset? What was the message to the team at that, you know, at that point?
Yeah, the message to the team going into the game was, look, you know, chances are we're not going to shut this team out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have enough to score runs, and I'm sure they're a great team if we're playing at the end here against them. And, you know, we knew we were probably going to give up some runs, and, you know, I kind of prepared the kids for that. And then, you know, when we did it in, you know, early in the game, I think they were prepared. You know, they knew that, you know, hey, we're probably going to give up a couple runs. It's okay. You know, we'll just stay with our process and our, you know, we'll keep grinding our at-bats. And, you know, eventually we're going to get this kid. You know, we're going to get to this pitcher and we're going to score some runs. And, you know, we did. She threw about 140 pitches against us. And, you know, we had some tough at-bats. I think we had 10 hits or 11 hits, something like that. But, again, the defense was incredible. We didn't make an error. You know,
amazing for sure.
Yeah,
this is the team's second state title. The first was in 2017. That was before you were the head coach. And I also mentioned earlier that this was the first time in the history of the program to win a WPIAL and a state title at the same time. So, and I know the team wanted this, you know, really big from what I read and everything. So just how special was it that this happened for this group?
Well, I think it was, you know, twice as special because we didn't have the year last year. And this group has been very motivated with, you know, trying to get a WPL championship, a state championship, and to have 1 year taken away from you. And then, you know, I think it tightened the screws down a little bit with your focus. And, you know, they knew they had one shot at it. And, you know, to come out on the right side of it, you know, it's just, it's an amazing feeling.
You've mentioned that about missing a year. Now, it doesn't seem like it affected your team, but did missing a year affect the team at all in any way? Did you see that either positively or negatively?
I think the positive was is it gave, you know, everybody a chance to become a better individual player, you know, and then come back to the whole. I think the negative aspect of it is all, you know, my sophomores did not have a freshman year. Yeah. You know, they didn't understand how long it is, how much of a grind it is to play, you know, practice and play all every day. You know, when you're used to travel ball and things, you know, you may have one practice during the week and then you go play 900 games on the weekend. and you can kind of pace yourself for that.
Uh-huh.
You know, but the high school season is, you know, and it's every day with the same kids. And, you know, there was a little bit of growing up there that we had with a couple of our younger girls. And, you know, and then it was like kind of having two freshman classes, you know, between our sophomores and our freshmen. So, but I think as the year went on, I think they got better and they understood, you know, the expectations and things. And, you know, it kind of all came together at the right time.
Now, I've broadcasted Mount Pleasant football in the past, probably about 5 or 6 years. So I know about the community support and the involvement. How important was that for this team?
It's amazing. You know, it is, you know, the old cliche of small town athletics, small town high school athletics. I mean, that's us, and that's us at Mount Pleasant. You know, we have our mayor at our softball games, you know, who's the fire chief, and, you know, it's just, it goes on and on and on. You know, after winning this, you know, after winning the WPL, we had the parade, you know, they brought us through town and sent us off through town with the fire trucks and the police cars. And, you know, it's one of them things where you know, I just call the police chief and say, hey, Georgie, you know, we're going to do a send off. You good? You got it taken care of? He's like, yeah, just let me know what time to be there. You know, it's just kind of that small town feel, you know, at Mount Pleasant. You know, after we won the state championship, same thing, you know, our mayor calls us and says, hey, when are you going to be hitting the ramp here, coming into Mount Pleasant? So brought us in with the fire trucks and the police cars. And actually the Doughboy, the statue there in town on Route 31, we brought the bus down to the Doughboy and the gazebo, and, you know, we stopped the bus in the middle of the road. They blocked traffic. And, you know, we had I gave a little talk and had the girls talk a little bit. And, you know, we had some of the younger girls come up to the older girls, you know, little rec girls, 10 years old, whatever. They got a chance to come, you know, and meet the girls. And it's just kind of that community involvement that, you know, you don't get at a lot of big schools, you know, and I know personally that was one of the reasons why I moved, you know, I built a house in Mount Pleasant, is I wanted the small town feel of, you know, my daughter's experience in high school. And, you know, and it's incredible. It's an incredible feeling.
Yeah. And how was that whole parade and all that stuff, just seeing all that? And like, it's just amazing. Like you said, you just call the police chief or the fire chief and they're waiting for you. They already knew you didn't even have to call. Awesome.
Yep, they already have everybody on standby. And our mayor was, before we even had the game, you know, the state championship game, he's like, we'll be ready for you when you win. And yada, yada. It's like, thanks, Jerry. No added pressure.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know? Putting the pressure on.
and that's the good and the bad. You know, the good is, you know, when you win, it's, you know, and the bad is you know, because you have the community involvement and your closeness, you know, you feel like you let people down when you lose. And, you know, and that can get, you know, a little tough sometimes. But, you know, overall, it's a great environment. You know, the Mount Pleasant community is very supportive of their athletics. You have the same thing from our administration. And, you know, like I said, it's just kind of that cliche of the small town, you know, high school athletics feel.
We are talking with Mount Pleasant Vikings softball coach and athletic director Chris Brunson on DeStefano's Den, brought to you by Stay in Latrobe on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS. This is gold.net and the iHeartRadio app. Coach, teams become like families, but your team literally was a family with how many people are related? Your two daughters, yeah. Haley and Krista, the assistant coaches, Aaron Hutter and Ken Swank, and their daughters, Katie and Abby. You have Mary and Sophia Smithnoski. And then there's also connections to the 2017 state title team. Courtney Pulick, whose sister Chelsea was on that team, and
Hannah Ganibus and Ava Ganibus.
There you go. Finish it for me. I was rattling too many names off there. That's good. I need the help, as you can see. So just first, talk about how it was coaching and winning the titles with your daughters and just the family atmosphere surrounding the team.
Yeah. I mean, personally, from the dad point of view, having both kids on the same team, you know, this is the only year it was going to happen because we didn't have last year. Yep. I have a sophomore and a senior this year. And, you know, again, just to be able to go on this run and enjoy this with them, it's just something that I'll never forget. You know, I'll take it to my grave. I mean, it's just, it was an amazing feeling. You know, as far as the closeness in the family of the atmosphere, I think that's why it made it special. You know, you have the closeness of the community and the support, and then you have that, you know, with the families and things. You know, it's one of the reasons why I wanted Aaron and Ken to coach. You know, they're totally committed guys to this and to the kids. And, you know, there's no crazy, you know, this one likes this one, that one. There's none of that stuff. You know, it's all about the win and developing the kids. And, you know, after the game, you know, I got a chance. You know, you hug the seniors and you tell them you love them. And, you know, they're like little nieces, you know. And, you know, a lot of them I do remember when they were 9 and 10 years old and, you know, with travel ball and things. And it's just it's a total family atmosphere. That's kind of the way we try to do it, you know. And we have our downs, too. You know, with family, there's a little bit of, you know, jammering and jabbing a little bit, too. You know, but on the other side of things, you know that we all are family, and you know, we'll get through any adversity that we have, and you know, it's a really good family atmosphere.
Definitely. Now, I want to talk about Lexi Pushkar, who was a big part of this team. Now, she was not able to be at the championship game because she had to begin boot camp with the National Guard in Oklahoma. Now, she was able to play in the semifinal game because she got permission from the Guard to delay reporting until after that game. So just talk about Lexi and what she meant to the team.
Lexi is, as you can tell, you know, going to the military, she's a very disciplined kid. She's a leader, you know, on and off the field. There's a whole little contingent of kids on our team that, you know, younger kids that looked up to her. You know, she embraced her role. You know, she was a starter for a while, and then she wasn't, and then she was, and then, you know, towards the end, she kind of took it, you know, did what the team needed her to do. You know, she kind of went from more of a defensive player to, you know, swinging the bat a little bit more than she had. And, you know, I can't say enough about the kid, you know, her dedication and, you know, just the leadership qualities and the intensity when she was on the field. And, you know, to have that hanging over with, you know, you know, you're taking your next life step here with the military. And, you know, she remained focused. Yeah. And, you know, that's why I think she's going to be a successful military person for sure.
Now, was she able to tune into the game? What were her thoughts on this state title win?
No, she has not. I spoke to her dad yesterday, and they finally did tell her that we won, and that was yesterday. You know, that he got a chance to talk to her for about 5 minutes on the phone. They gave him their phones back. You know, she got a chance to talk to her dad, talk to her boyfriend. You know how that goes.
You
only get 10 minutes.
That's right.
But yeah, you got to include the boyfriend. Uh-huh. I got daughters. I get it.
Yes.
So, but yeah, she finally got a chance to know that we won, and, you know, she was crying and just very excited for us.
Yeah, and I bet it was tough for her. I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, going to the military, the next step in her life, but it had to be tough for her not to be able to play in that state championship game, I'm sure.
Yeah, she tried to get it pushed out past, you know, the June 18th date, and, you know, for her recruiter to work a little bit of magic to, you know, at least give her that last game there so she could kind of, you know, go out on her terms a little bit, you know, that was very appreciative from us and her to her recruiter.
Now, Mary Smith-Noske, we talked a little bit about her earlier. Great pitcher, but now she is going to be making a big transition. She's going to be playing outfield at Western Michigan. So how do you think she's going to do with this change in her playing career?
I think, you know, she was a pitcher for us in the high school team because that's what the team needed. You know, I don't think she loves it by any means, but I know she's good at it. She works her tail off at it. I think she's looking forward to just, you know, being a position player and an outfielder. And she's a heck of a hitter. You know, she's going there on scholarship. You know, they saw her as an outfielder, and that's how they like her. And, you know, when the college coach says, hey, this is what you're going to do, this is what you do, you know, because they're paying your school. And, you know, I think she's talked about, you know, just kind of putting the pitching to bed and just, you know, just kind of putting that in the past and then just moving forward and, you know, being the best outfielder or third base or wherever they put her, you know, just being the best that she could be, you know, what she's doing. And that's the kind of attitude she had with the pitching too.
Now, next year, you guys are going to lose six seniors, Hannah Janibas, right. Courtney Pollock, your daughter, Haley, Alexis right. Shawley, and we mentioned Lexi Pushkar. So just talk about this group of seniors and how special they've been to this program.
Well, I think we figured it out through junior high. They were 92-8 as a group.
Wow.
From 7th grade through 12th grade. And, you know, you never replace the kids.
No.
You know, that's any senior class, you never replace the kids. You know, their leadership qualities and those kind of things. But, you know, you talk about trying to replace the numbers, you know, the numbers that they put up. Because that's, you know, as a coach, that's kind of what you look at. But, you know, I don't know. It's a very special group. You know, they would have said in 17 that it's a, you know, their group was a once in a lifetime program kind of thing. And then, you know, here we are in 21 kind of having the same conversations. And, you know, we're just going to continue to work and try to develop these younger kids and, you know, just try to continue to make Mount Pleasant softball strong.
Now, as we go to next year, how many players are coming back and are you happy right now with what the roster numbers are?
Yeah, I think this year we were a little light on the roster because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the, you know, 2 years ago we had 24 on the roster. This year we started with 20. We finished with 17. There were some different things that happened mm-hmm. with COVID and stuff. And, you know, people lost interest and they move on
yeah.
and all that stuff. But, you know, we lose the six seniors, you know, so we ended with 17. So we're starting with 11. And then I think we have 4 or 5 eighth graders coming up. And then I think we'll probably, you know, being a smaller school, you know, we may pick a basketball player off or a track kid or something like that that wants to just come and run, you know, for us. And,
yeah.
You know, our numbers should be okay, you know. You know, but we're a 3A school, you know, and a lot of different, you know, a lot of 3A schools have, you know, 15, 16, 17 kids. You know, I think we'll be right there again.
That's good. And what do you expect to see from next year's group? Well, obviously, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of pressure on next year's group after
yeah.
what happened this year.
Right. Yeah, I had the end of the year meetings with the girls Monday. We turned in uniforms, passed out letters.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to have an individual meeting with each kid. And, you know, I just kind of told them that, you know, going through this run, you know, different teams that we played, you know, and what we have coming back, you know, some teams that we got by, you know, I think talent-wise we're as good as those teams, you know. So, you know, maybe we don't have the highest-end talent like maybe we did this year
mm-hmm.
in the depth, but we definitely have a lot of talent coming back. And, you know, we have a lot of excited kids, you know, about working and getting right after it.
As we come down to the end here, Coach, I mentioned earlier you're the athletic director as well at Mount Pleasant. So outside of softball, how did the other spring sports at Mount Pleasant fare this year?
This fall we had a good track season. I think we finished second in the section. We had some girls and I think a guy that moved on into the states, you know, qualifiers and things. You know, baseball had a tough year. They just seemed like we had that COVID shutdown
mm-hmm.
for like 3 or 4 days. And it just seemed like they could never gain the traction they needed. You know, they, with the pitching rules and, you know, having the delay and they never really got the traction. They had some talent and never really got the traction. But I think, you know, coming back with those, you know, two teams that, you know, track is kind of track. We have some athletes and, you know, play in the lower division. We'll be competitive. I think baseball will come back around. I think there's some developing and things that, you know, they'll work hard on, and it'll happen. And then, you know, boys tennis is, you know, if you have a good year of weather, you probably have a pretty good year.
Yes.
And if you have a bad year of weather, you probably have not so good year, you know, and we were right there at the end, you know, trying to figure out a section championship. I think we finished second, maybe South Park, if my memory serves me correctly. But, you know, the kids, you know, we had some soccer players. We had the soccer contingent of boys that wanted to play tennis this year, you know, so he had a little more depth and some athletes and things for some practices. But, you know, I think we're going to be fine moving forward.
Awesome. And, of course, big expectations always for softball.
Right. Yeah. No, that's... like I said, we have the talent coming back, I think, to, you know, continue to be strong. You know, like I said, I can't predict any states or Whippeals.
Yes.
Or I couldn't do that this year. You
yes.
know, I thought we had a chance, but, mm-hmm. You know, we have some talent. We're just going to continue to do what we do, and, you know, it'll work out.
Before we know it, the fall sports season's going to be here, and obviously the big one is football. So just talk about football and your other fall sports and what's coming up here.
Yeah, we had a good year in football last year, making the playoffs. You know, I'm excited to have fans back in the stands.
Yes, definitely.
You know, our boys soccer team, you know, they had a great year. You know, moving on, that's furthest they've ever gone. They finished in the semis of the WPLs. You know, girls are up and coming. We have a new coach. Last year was his first year, and he's got a lot of good things in place here with the off season stuff. And, you know, he graduated a couple kids that, you know, are moving on to play college soccer. And a girls tennis was section champions last year. You know, that's kind of like our fall softball. You know, a lot of the softball kids will migrate to the girls tennis, mm-hmm. you know, so they have some athletes and things to compete with. You know, it's, again, I think our fall sports are in a good spot. I think football is going to be a little bit on the younger side, so we'll see how that works. But, you know, Jason does a good job with, you know, getting those kids, getting them in the weight room, putting the time in, you know, so I think we're in a good spot there too.
Yeah, that's good. And you mentioned that the kids go into other sports. That's big. And you see that everywhere. You got to play the multiple sports
mm-hmm.
to keep these programs going.
Right. Yeah. Especially in the 1-2-3A.
Yes.
You know, and we were 4A too, and we did it, you know, for a few years too, but
mm-hmm.
smaller schools, you got to share your athletes. And, you know, and I think it helps with the winning, you know, if you have some kids that are winners, you know, and you're breeding some winners
mm-hmm.
and then those kids kind of filter into the different programs. I think winners just breed winners. And, you know, that's kind of what we're trying to do here at Mount Pleasant.
Coach, this is great. Thank you for your time. Again, congratulations on a great season and continued success, not only in softball, but in the future of Mount Pleasant sports, all of them.
All right. Thank you, TJ.
And that was Mount Pleasant Vikings softball coach and athletic director Chris Brunson. That does it for DeStefano's Den this Saturday morning, brought to you by Stay in Latrobe. Why stay in a hotel when you can stay in Latrobe? 905 Mission Road in Latrobe. Call 412-601-0706. Email stayinlatrobe@comcast.net and www.stayinlatrobe.com. You can like DeStefano's Den on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at SportsGuy1480. I'm your host, TJ DeStefano. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next Saturday here on Westmoreland Saturday Morning.